And we're holding Chavtes Amud Aleph by the Mishnah. So now the Mishnah is going to be completely shifting gears. And we're going to be talking about the mitzvahs that men and that what mitzvahs are men chayav in and women not, versus which ones are both of them chayav. What is this Mishnah doing over here? There's a few different explanations. Among them are that the Ritva says, since at the beginning of the since from the beginning of the Masechta, we've been talking about the how a woman is miskadish. So now we're going to talk about the fact that the father has a responsibility to see to it that his son is married off, which is going to be one of the things that we're going to list in the Gemara, that the father is responsible for his son. And once we're mentioning that, then we're mentioning the other chiyuvim that the father has to his son, and things go from there. The Pnei Yeshua says differently. He says, now that we've talked about all the things by which a person acquires things in Olam Hazeh, now we have to talk about how a person acquires Olam Haba through mitzvahs. So therefore, we talk about the various categories of mitzvahs. And HaMakna says, even more interestingly, he says, now we're going to be talking about how the things that Hashem acquires in this world, which is going to be when a Yid does mitzvahs, then that's an acquisition that Hashem made in the world. And in fact, he connects the things that we're going to have in the Gemara that the father has to do for the son. He connects with you have in Pirkei Avos, this past Shabbos, Chamisha Kinyanim, Kona HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he ties those with the things that we're going to mention in the Gemara. The father has to mal his son. That corresponds to Avraham Kinyan Echad. He has to do Pidyon HaBen. That corresponds to that Hashem took the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim and acquired us as Bnei B'chori Yisrael, and so forth. He goes through all the five things that we're going to list in the Gemara that the father has to do for the son and shows how they relate to the Chamisha Kinyanim. So that's another reason of what this Mishnah is doing over here. Now that we talk about people acquiring things, now we're talking about Hashem acquiring things in the world. So the Mishnah says, Kol mitzvahs haben al ha'av, all the mitzvahs of the father on the son, and we're going to see what all the mitzvahs of the son on the father, rather, and we're going to see in the Gemara what that expression means. Anoshim chayovin v'noshim p'turis, men are chayov in those mitzvahs, women are potter. V'chol mitzvahs ha'av al ha'ben, whereas the mitzvahs of the father that are on the son, echad anoshim ve'echad noshim chayovin, both men and women are chayev in those. So we'll see in the Gemara what those mean respectively. Continues the Mishnah, v'chol mitzvahs esa sha'azman groma anoshim chayovin v'noshim turis, any mitzvahs esa sha'azman groma, so any time-bound mitzvahs, so that includes things. So it doesn't include all of them. We know, for example, women are chayav to keep Shabbos. That's for a different reason. That's because we're going to learn later on in the parak that this rule applies only to mitzvahs esa shazman groma that are not tied to a lois esa. When it comes to Shabbos, you have the lois esa, lois asa kol melacha, and women are actually, we're going to say later in our Mishnah, women are chayav in such mitzvahs. So therefore, along with that, they're also chayav in the mitzvahs asa that goes with it. With that said, actually, when it comes to Kiddush, there's actually a bit of a suffix about that, but to what extent women are chayev. But anyway, the point is, therefore, when it's a pure mitzvah esa shazman groma. So, for example, a classic example is Aliyah L'Regel, which the Gemara tells us in Chagiga, women are potter from. And you have many other examples that are scattered throughout Shas. Tefillin, for example, once it's established that tefillin are worn only by day and not by night, and only on weekdays, not on Shabbos, then it's a mitzvah esa shazman groma, and women are potter from it, and many other examples. Anyway, so men are chayiv, women are potter. V'chol mitzvah esa shaloi azman groma, any mitzvah esa that's not time-bound, both men and women are chayiv in such mitzvahs. Then b'chol mitzvahs lois esa, when it comes on the other hand to mitzvahs lois esa, ben shazman groma, ben shaloi azman groma, whether they're time bound or not, echad ha'anoshim ve'echad ha'anoshim chayovim, those both men and women are chayovim. So for example, that would include Shabbos, that would include, for example, not to do malacha on the various Yom Tovim, not to eat on Yom Kippur, not to eat or do malacha or what have you on Yom Kippur, all of those are time bound, but women are chayovim them. And the same thing with all the other lois says, chutz, with the following three exceptions that women are potter from. Mi bal takif, the first one is the Torah says that a man is not allowed to round off the corners of his head, meaning to shave off his payas, where the idea is, as we learned in Masechta Nazir, that's called rounding off in the sense that now you have a straight line from the front of the head to the back of the head, uninterrupted by the payas. So women don't have that mitzvah. They're allowed to shave off their payas. So it's machlokas aposkim, whether what about if they shave off a boy's or a man's payas, would they be over on that? Depends whether we say that the issur of Baal Takif includes just themselves or doesn't include others as well. We did have in Masechta Nazir where Rav Huna's wife used to shave off their kid's payas, and one of the other chachamim criticized Rav Huna for that, and it had very unfortunate consequences. So that would suggest that maybe they're also to do that, but it's not so simple. Anyway, Baal Tashkes, the second mitzvah sloisa said that women are potter from is Baal Tashkes. A man is not allowed to destroy his beard by shaving it off. Again, if a woman does grow hair on her chin, she's allowed to shave it off. And the third one is about to tamal amesim. The third one is don't become tummy mess, meaning a kohen is not allowed to become tummy mess. The wife or the daughter of a kohen is allowed to become tummy mess. And we're going to learn later on, eventually in the Gemara, we're going to learn how we know all these things, how we know women are potter from mitzvah seser shazman grama, how we know they're chayev in mitzvah saloy seser shazman grama, and how we know these three exceptions, etc. We're going to discuss all of that later on Daf Lamed Vav, on Daf Lamed Dalet and onward. So the Gemara starts off. My kol mitzvah saben ala ab. What does that first expression in the Mishnah mean? All the mitzvahs of the son on the father. Does it mean does it mean all the mitzvahs that the son, that the child is obligated to do for his father? And that would be the mitzvahs of kibud av ve'em, to honor them and to fear them, which we're going to talk about those mitzvahs in a little more, in much more detail later on, daf lamed aleph lamed beis. You're going to say that's what they're talking about. Noshim turos. So what do you mean women are potter from such mitzvahs? V'hatanya, we learn in a braisa, when the pasuk says ish, imay v'aviv tiro, a man should fear his father and his mother. So ein li ela ish. So if you only had that, you would think that it means only men are chayev in kibud and murder. Isha minayin. How do we know that women are chayim as well? But no, since the pasuk continues tiro in the plural, then that means that it includes two. So it includes both the man and the woman. So both of them are chayim in kibud and moira of avim. I should, by the way, interject. Hashgacha Pratis today is a day of extra kibud av for me. It's my father's yard site, so this should be le'ili nishmas tovia ben chayim. Anyway. So we see, therefore, that, so what are you telling me in the Mishnah as a blanket statement that women are potter from kibud av and moda av? And we're going to mention later on, it is true, the Gemara is going to mention later on Daf Lamed Aleph, that not always are women, practically speaking, not always are married women able to accomplish these things because their husband comes first. Nevertheless, when the Mishnah is saying a blanket statement, women are potter, then how could you say that? The fact is, unmarried women and women where it doesn't interfere with their marriage are just as chayev and kibud av ve'em and moda av ve'em as men. So Amar Rabbi Huda hachikamer. So Rabbi Huda says the expression kol mitzvah sa'av ala ben means kol mitzvah sa'av ben ala av rather means the other way around. It means kol mitzvah sa'av ben hamutolos ala av lasis. Means all the mitzvahs that the father is responsible to do for his son. To kol mitzvahs haben, all the mitzvahs that involve the son, al ha'av, which are incumbent on the father to get done, all of those are noshim chayovin v'noshim p'turis. Then men are chayav, women are potter. Where tanena lahod the tanan abanan. By saying that, therefore, we've learned. So now we can quote a braisa, which is going. Now we've learned briefly in a mishnah what it says in more detail in a braisa. That's going to list out these things. And the point is, when we do that, when we have a tenena lahad tanan abanan, means we can rely on that braisa and we can accept it lahalocha. If we didn't understand that the Mishnah was telling us that the obligations that a father has for his son women are potter from it, then we would have said this braisa that we're going to quote now, maybe it's not a libra de hilchasa. But now that we understand that that is what the Mishnah is telling us in brief, now we can accept that this braisa that we're going to quote, which is going to give the details, is in fact a libra de hilchasa, and we do follow it lahalofa.
Because of the lashon.
Because it's hinted at in the Mishnah with the expression kol mitzvah sa'av ala ben. And then saying that anoshim chayav, kol mitzvah sa'av ben ala ab, rather, and saying anoshim chayav and anoshim turis. So the Braisa says, Ha'av chayav b'vnoi, a father has the obligations on his son, and all of these are davka, the father was saying, the mother doesn't particularly have these obligations, as we're going to go through each one of them in the Gemara. L'muloi, he has to mal him, he has to arrange for a bris milah for him. There is actually an interesting point. The Urzarua, famous Rishon, says that if the father himself knows how to mal, he's not allowed to delegate it to somebody else. And Shach discusses this in Yerideya, and there's considerable discussion about whether that's so or whether he could, in fact, even in that case, delegate it. Most of the time, of course, the father doesn't know how to, and therefore he delegates it. But we see when a bris is done, the father officially appoints the moil as a shliach and hands him the knife. So that way the moil is doing it on behalf of the father, because essentially it's the father's mitzvah. Anyway, the muloi, he has to mal him, relif doisei. He has to do pidyon aben, or the lamde Torah, he has to teach him Torah, or la siya isha, he has to arrange for him to get married, so he has to arrange for the shidduchim and to arrange the wedding and all that. Or the lamde umnus, and to teach him a trade, to teach him something to be able to do for a living. Keep in mind, of course, you know, you could have the umnos itself could be Torah, se umnose, after all, although that's very uncommon. But nevertheless, the point is that he should have some way of earning a living. In fact, at the end of the Masechta over here, we're going to have a whole discussion about that point, what kind of jobs are good and which ones are not so good. And you have Reb Nahiroi is going to say, Maniach ani kol umnius shiva olam, I would set aside all the crafts in the world and teach my son only Torah. So we'll get to that, Bez Hashem, when we learn at the end of the Masechta, we'll talk about there's a sicha on that, and there's all kinds of interesting things on that. Anyway. The yesh omrim afla hashite b'mayim, yesh omrim, that also the father has to teach his son to swim. Because what if one day he's on a ship which sinks, then it'll save his life. And the Braisa continues, Rabbi Yehuda omer, kol she'ena malamedes b'noi umnos malamde listus. Anybody who doesn't teach his son a trade or a craft, he's teaching him listus. He's teaching him to be a robber. So they want to ask listus, sakadayt. What do you mean? He's not actually teaching him robbery. As if he's teaching him robbery, because if he doesn't have a job, if he doesn't have any way of earning money, then what's going to happen when he's short of food? He's going to go and then start robbing people. Now, the Gemara eventually, on Lamed Amud Beis, will discuss what exactly, it's a nice, cute vote from Rabbi Yehuda, but what is he adding to what the Tanakhama said? The Tanakhama already said you have to teach him umnos. What is Rabbi Yehuda adding to that, or in what way is he disagreeing? We'll see about that in the Gemara. Okay, so now let's go through these five things and see how, for each one of them, how we know the father is chayev, and for each one of them, how we see the mother is potter. Because that's the point of the braisa, and again, that's what's being briefly stated in the Mishnah, that kol mitzvah sa ben ala ab, anoshim chayev, anoshim turis, so we have to deal with that. So l'muloi menolon, where do we know that the father has a responsibility to see that his son is mild? D'chtiv, as the passage says, Vayomel Avraham es Yitzchak b'noi. Avraham made a milah for his son Yitzchak. And the point is, among other things, that we're learning from the fact that it says b'noi. The Pnei Yeshua points out a couple of different ways. What's exactly the limud is, for one thing, because it says b'noi. If it had just said Vayomel Avraham es Yitzchak, you could argue equally well that he's doing it not because, the Gemara is going to say next, that if the father doesn't do it, then Beis Din is responsible to see that it gets done. You could argue Avraham is the local Beis Din. But because it says b'noi, then the pasuk is showing us that it's a chiyuv on the father primarily. Next, v'heicha d'loy ma'aloy avua. If the father did not mal him, then the Beis Din, or not really even the Beis Din just stands for the rest of the Jewish people. They have to mal him. And by the way, there is a distinction that a couple of the Mefarshim make between why is the father not maling him? Is he just saying I can't be bothered to get around to it, or is he saying I absolutely do not want to be maling him? If it's just that he's saying I don't want to get around to it, then we shouldn't necessarily have Beis Din be responsible, as in they have to pay the moil and all. Why should we impose that cost on the tzibur just because the father was lazy? Asmat Yosef points out. So therefore, what we mean is where the father says, "I absolutely do not want to." So therefore, that based on has to step in, and they have to pay the moil and so forth. But if the father is just lazy and doesn't want to, then Basedin will force him to do what he needs to do, and he'll pay for it. So mechayvet bei dinu l'mimalei. So then the Basedin is responsible to malim. Dichtiv himoy lochem kol zocher, as the pasuk says, circumcise for you in the plural all males. So that implies that's a chiyuv on you plural, meaning the tzibur, meaning the Basedin representing the tzibur. The hecha dole mahale beidina, what if the Basedin did not do it for whatever reason? Then he's responsible to see that he himself gets a bris. As the pasuk says, a male zocher, or a male oral who does not circumcise the flesh of his orla, will get kares.
The ihi goes on the mother.
No, so the word ihi means the mother, but that's the next piece. That ihi belongs to the next sentence. So therefore we see that he has an independent chiyuv on himself to get himself a bris mila if his father and the Beis Din didn't do the job. Next, ihi menolon deloy mechayva. Where do we see that his mother is not chayev to do it? Dichtiv kashet siva oisoi elikim, because the pasuk says that Avraham mal Yitzchak, as Hashem had commanded him, and the word oisoi is extra, so therefore it means oisoi v'loy oisa. It means he is chay, he was commanded, she is not. Tosfos wonders, why do we even need a miut for that? I mean, Rashi's mentioned something else, but why don't we say it's a mitzvah sesa shazman groma? So therefore, women are potter. Now, Meforshim explained, we don't mean it's a mitzvah sesa shazman groma in the sense that it begins only on the eighth day, because it continues for men for the rest of his life. So there's no deadline for it. Every day a person is not mal, he's over, fine, but it's still, but the point is, Tosfos says, because, so that's the point, since it's from the eighth day and onward, now, the fact is, you do a bris mila only by day, so therefore that should also make it a mitzvah sesa shazman groma. However, Tosfos says, there is an opinion in the Gemara in Yevamos that we've learned that says that mila shaloi bizmana could be done by night as well. The halacha is not, is the mainstream halacha is not like that. But the yevid, if a mila shaloi bizmana was done by night, then afterwards we do our toughest dam bris. But the point is, according to that opinion, it wouldn't be a mitzvah sesa shazman groma. Therefore, we're looking for a source that says that she's potter. Elsewhere, Tosfos points out another point as well, which is, since mila is a mitzvah that involves kares, that there can be kares, as we just said, if a person doesn't get a bris mila, then we would think that's a much stronger kind of mitzvah saseh, and maybe women should be chayev as well, and therefore maybe the mother should be chayev to see to it as well. So we have to figure out how we know that it's not so. I mean, there's more on this as well. The Ritva points out the chiddush is, given that we just said Basedin is responsible, you would think, well, that means, in other words, so every Jew is responsible to see that a baby has a bris, and maybe the women are included as well. But we're saying because of Oisoi, then not. No, because that's the thing, because the Torah didn't have to say the word Oisoi at all. It could have said Kashet Tziva Elikim. We know already from earlier Pesukim that Hashem commanded Avraham. Therefore, it means that Hashem commanded him, not her. There is a discussion elsewhere in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah whether women can do a bris milah or not. On the one hand, they themselves don't have a milah. On the other hand, they're part of the Jewish people, and the Gemara mentions over there, Isha commanded mihila domi. It ends up being a suffix. So in practice, it says in Shulchan Aruch, where there's men available, a woman should not do a bris. But where not, you have various examples, including well-known examples from the Holocaust and earlier from the times of the Hashmonaim, and all where women did do bris milahs for their sons. So they certainly can do it, but we're saying they're not chayav to do it. So the Gemara says, Ashkechon Miyad. Okay, so that takes care of, we know that in that generation, when Hashem was speaking to Avraham, then the mitzvah was specifically on him and not on Sarah. L'dordas Menolon. Where do we know the same thing applies in future generations, that the men are chayev and that the women are, that the men are chayev and the women are potter. And the fact that the men are chayev, actually, the Pasuk clearly says, Shita L'Nodel Mi points out, the Pasuk says, Ata V'zarecha Acharecha L'Doroisim. So it's very clear the chiyuv was on the fathers in future generations as well. But where do we know that in future generations the mothers are potter?
We see this question out of place in Shaza.
No, because here we're talking about, there's a mitzvah seser shazman groma, and in each case we need to, or maybe it's not, that's as Tosfos said, maybe it's not. But in each of these cases, we're saying women are potter, so we need to know how women are potter. So the answer is Tonad Veda Bishmol, Kol Makom Shenemot Tzav, because whenever it says in the Torah Tzav, and here you have the Kashet Siva Oisar Lekim, which is the same Shurdish, Eina Elo Zirus Miyadu L'Dordas. The word Tzav is an expression of encouraging a person to be quick, zero, that a person should be quick to do the mitzvah, miyad, in that generation, uladurdus, and in future generations. Zero zichtiv tzavas Yeshua v'chazkeu v'amtzeu. We find Hashem tells Moshe, command Yeshua and strengthen him and encourage him. So we see that the word tzav means to tell him to be quick to do, and to be quick and to be eager and strong to do his job. As the Pasuk says, from the day that Hashem commanded and onward throughout your generations, so we see that the word Siva is Miyadu L'Doris. So therefore, when it says Kashet Siva Oisai Lekim, then that means the Oisai, the fact that it applies to men and not to women, applies in that generation and also in all future generations. So that is how we know that the women are Potter from Bris Mila. So again, doesn't mean they're not going to be involved, of course, but it means they don't have the mitzvah to see to it. If for whatever reason the father is not making a Bris Mila, there's no specific mitzvah on the mother any more than there is on the rest of the Jewish people to see to it that it gets done. Okay, next, Lifdoisei. We said the second thing a father has to do for his son is to make a pidyon haben. So again, the same thing. Menalon, first of all, where do we know that he has that obligation? But the Pasuk says, you should redeem all the firstborn of your sons. So therefore, so that's clear that it means the father has to do it. So if the father did not do the pidyon haben, then the son has to has to make a pidyon haben for himself. Now here we don't go through the intermediate thing of based in being responsible, and again that's what Masir Yosef says. This is based on what we said before, because since we don't want to put a financial burden on the tzibur. That's, we said the same thing as far as paying for the moil before. So it's one thing with mila. It's possible that the tzibur doesn't necessarily, they may not necessarily have to pay the moil. There's not necessarily money involved. But pidyon haben, by definition, there's money involved. Therefore, we're not going to impose it on based in lachatchila. If the father didn't do it, the son has to arrange it himself. Dichtiv, podei sifte, because the Pasuk says podei sifte. Now, there's actually different gersois over here. The Rashi, it seems, had the girsa, and a number of other Rishonim and Achronim also have the girsa, that it's not from the word podei sifte, which we're going to say it's a double expression, and therefore includes yastu, but rather from the fact that the Pasuk says tifde, and we can also read it as though it said tipode. Tifde would be an active verb, you shall redeem. Tipode would be a passive verb, you shall be redeemed. So therefore, we would learn from that, because the word can be read without the Nekudis in the Sefer Torah, after all, it can be read tifde or tipode. That would mean you have to be poide, as in you, a father, have to be poide, your son. But if not, then you have to arrange that you, the Bechor, should be redeemed. So that's another way of learning. Next, the ihi menolon de la mifkada. Where do we know that the mother is not chayev to arrange for the pidyon haben? And again, it's a Rashi point. Rashi and Tosfos both point out, just Rashi points out actually, that it's not a mitzvah seser shazman groma. Because again, fine, it begins on the 30th day, but then it continues thereafter. An interesting point in that regard is generally people do a pidyon haben by day, but in principle, al pi halacha, it could be done at night as well. So it's not a mitzvah seser shazman groma. So why should women be potter from it? So the answer is again, tipode tifde. Again, you have this word tifde in the pasuk, which can also be read tipode, and therefore you learn from that that only that so 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 the word tifter itself means you should redeem. Tipada means you should be redeemed yourself. So therefore, so it means kol shemitzuva lifter sasatzmai, anybody who has a chiyu to redeem himself, to do pidyon haben on himself, had his father not done it, mitzuva lifter sasachirim, such a person has a mitzvah to redeem somebody else's son. Anybody who does not have that mitzvah, namely women, where there's no mitzvah, pidyon haben on a woman who's a bechora, ain't a mitzvah, lift a sacherim, then she doesn't have the mitzvah of redeeming others. Well, the ihi menolon b'le mechayvel a mifrak nafsha, taka, where do we know that she's not obligated to redeem herself? Which means, in other words, both Rashi and Tosfos say, in other words, that maybe you would say, sure, the father doesn't have a chiyuv to be poured to her, because the pasuk says kol b'chor b'necha tifteh. But maybe the pasuk is saying that if a woman was born first to her parents, to her mother, whatever, then maybe she has to arrange a pidyon haben for herself. So maybe the vote would be a son, the father does it for him. A daughter, she has to do it eventually for herself when she grows up. How do we know that not? So the answer is we do the same drasha with tifte and tipode, but the other way around. If tifte tipode, kol she'acherim mitzuvim lifdoisei, anybody who there are other people who has a mitzvah to be poyder them, namely their father, mitzuvah lifdoisei atzmai, then they have a mitzvah to redeem themselves. But kol she'ein acherim mitzuvim lifdoisei, if somebody else does not have that chiyuv, namely in the case of a girl, clearly the father does not have the chiyuv, but the pasuk says kol b'chor banecha ein mitzuvah lifdoisei atzmai. Then they don't have a mitzvah to be poured to themselves. And then where in turn do we know the father doesn't have to? So we have a chain over here. Because the father is not chayev to be poured to the daughter, and that's clear from the pasuk that says, therefore she doesn't have a mitzvah pidyon haben on herself either, because we learn only when somebody else has the mitzvah on you, do you have the mitzvah on yourself. And because she doesn't have that mitzvah to be poured to herself, therefore she doesn't have the mitzvah of being poured to somebody else, namely her son. So that results in what we said, that only the father is chayev to be poured to the son, because the father himself was, to begin with, the father himself, having been a bechor, his father had a mitzvah to be poured to him, and if he didn't, then he has to arrange it for himself. So therefore, he also has the chiyuv of being poured to the next generation, his son. But a woman, where to begin with, that chain doesn't begin, because her father doesn't have a mitzvah to be poured to her, then the whole thing doesn't continue from there, and therefore she's potter from arranging an opinion and ben for her son.
That also goes on the kahal.
So therefore, well, the kahal is something else. No, because the kahal includes people who would have had a mitzvah to be redeemed by their parents, and they were or they weren't, and they arranged it when they were older. But again, that's what Yosef was saying. We don't want to impose a financial burden on the tzibur. So if the father doesn't do it, then we just leave it up to the son himself to arrange it. Okay, so now we're going to talk about some dinim in that regard, some dinim regarding pidyon haben. Tananabon. Who lifters of no lifters? What happens if the father himself needs a pidyon haben? His father hadn't arranged it at the time, so now he needs to arrange it of no lifters, and now he also has a firstborn son, and he has to arrange a pidyon haben for him as well. Which one comes first? Who kodem livnoi? So his pidyon haben comes before his son's. Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a bnei kodmai. Rabbi Yehuda says the mitzvah to do pidyon haben for his son comes first. Shezem mitzvah se'al aviv v'zem mitzvah bnei olam. Because Rabbi Yehuda said the father, the essential mitzvah is really on his father. His father didn't do it, so therefore now it devolves on him. As opposed to here, the mitzvah of pidyon haben to begin with is on him. Therefore, that's a stronger chiyuv, so therefore that should take precedence.
Double, got himself and his son.
Right, that's the point. He has both of them to do, but Rabbi Yehuda is saying because the mitzvah to do his son is a mitzvah primarily on him, he himself being the father, he has the main mitzvah, therefore that should come first. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda, it's like this, HaKol Moedim, Hol Hecha Deleka Ela Chomish Sloim. Everybody would agree that where the father only had, in this scenario, only has five sloyim available for pidyon haben, and you need five sloyim for each one individually, so he's not going to be able to do both, there's no question who kodem livnoi, that he comes ahead of his son. My time, a mitzvah de gufei adifa, because a mitzvah involving himself is stronger. He himself needs a pidyon haben, so therefore that has to go first. And later on, when he earns more money, then he'll do the pidyon haben for his son.
Like yid, it goes on the father.
Because that's the thing. That everybody would agree. The fact is, the mitzvah of pidyon haben for himself is a mitzvah on himself. That's certainly more of a chiyuv than a mitzvah that he has to do for somebody else. So therefore, no question, says Rabbi Yirmiyah, that comes first. Ki pligi heicha de'ikah chomesh meshubadim. The machloikas would strictly be where the five on meshubadim, there's land or what have you, that there's land, it's talking about land, because only land can be meshubadim. So there's land worth five sloyim where there's a shibud on it, v'chomesh b'nei chorin. And then there's another five b'nei chorin. So previously, the father had 10 sloyim worth of karka. Before the son was born, he had sold five of it. So now it's nechosim meshubadim, and now he has five that he still owns. So the question is, what order is he going to do things in? Rabbi Yehuda Sover, Milva Dikhtib Batar Ksuv Bashtar Danya. Rabbi Yehuda holds, which is a topic that comes up in many places in Shas. We had it earlier in our parak as well. That when you have a loan that's written in the Torah, it's considered as though it was written in a shtar, meaning, in other words, that a shibud takes effect. So therefore, in other words, this that he has to do pidyon haben for that he has to do pidyon haben for himself is considered a milva that has a shibud, meaning the kohen will be able to exercise his shibud and be able to take away the nechosim shabadim to pay it. So therefore, bahani chomesh parik librei. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says the order you do like this. Start with the five sloyim b'nei chorin and use that to do the pidyon haben for your son. You can't use nechosim shabadim for that because, as we learned in Gittin, ein nefroim and nechosim shabadim b'makom sheyesh b'nei chorin. Where there's b'nei chorin available, you can't go after shabadim. So therefore, he first needs to dispose of the five b'nei chorin, which he does that by doing the pidyon haben for his son. He said the son goes first. Then v'ozo koyin v'torif le'lachomish meshubadim l'diday. Then the koyin comes and takes the nechosim meshubadim for the father's pidyon. And therefore that will work. In other words, and Rashi also adds, it's not considered a no, it's not considered an unfair thing that you're doing to the, you could say, the lakeach could say, well, why is it my problem just because you failed to, just because your father failed to do a pidyon haben for you? Because the fact is, the mitzvah of his son does come ahead of his mitzvah, but he still has his mitzvah to do as well. So therefore, the lakeach can't say, in other words, well, you shouldn't have done it that way. You should have been poydah yourself with your five b'nei chorin, and it's not my problem that you still have a chiyuv for your son. You'll do it sometime later without getting me involved. So therefore, we don't say that because the fact is the mitzvah of the son is on him, and it's more strongly in a way than his mitzvah. So therefore, it's legitimate for him to take nechosim meshubadim for that.
Husband can understand that. One way we say that the chiyuv that's in yourself comes first. The other hand, you're saying here that
Kiev
and his son comes first.
So it's, I mean, it's,
when you draw the line.
Well, the point is, in other words, that at least the mitzvah, that we're saying, Rashi uses the expression, mitzvahs b'nei olav yosem mitzvah, so that the mitzvah of the son is on him more than his own mitzvah, in the sense, in other words, he's the one who has to arrange a pidyon haben for his son. The initial mitzvah is for himself. So on the one hand, yes, you have the mitzvah on him is stronger in a way. That's why we said that it should go first. On the other hand, what we're saying is here, where that's going to prevent the other one from taking place at all, because if he just uses the nechosim b'nei chorin, then there's no basis to take from the shabadim. Then therefore, Rabbi Yehuda is saying you go in that order, because you can accomplish both of them, because you can accomplish using the nechosim b'shabadim. So therefore, you do it in that order. Tosfos has some questions. And Rashi, on the contrary, just like sort of like what you're saying, they should say mitzvahs gufay adif. Fine, redeem yourself first, and you can't use meshabadim for that. In the frame in the chosim meshabadim, v'makom sheyesh b'nei chorin. So they'll tell and if he uses b'nei chorin, and then there's only meshabadim left, they can say to the kohen, then fine, he nachnu v'chamakom lugvas himenu. When it came to the mitzvah of pidyon haben of the son, you could have taken from the nechosim b'nei chorin. Not our problem that you didn't, and instead you allowed the father to use it for something else. Why should we be involved? So rather, Tosfos constructs a scenario where what happens is the Chumash Meshubadim Tosfos describes that you have Yitzchak had Nechosim. He made them an aposiki for the Kohen for Yaakov. So he says, I have a son Yaakov. I know I need to do a pinyon aben for him. Therefore, I'm earmarking this piece of property that I'll use it to pay you your Chumash Sloim. By the way, you can't do the pinyon aben itself with land. It would mean you have to sell the land and use the money to pay the Kohen. Anyway, what happens is then he goes and sells that property instead of selling it to give to the Pidyon Aben to the Kohen. He stam sells it to somebody else. Now, eventually, when Yaakov is older, then he himself has a son. He has Reuven. And now you have, now there's two Pidyon Abens that have to be done. So now Rabbi Huda is saying that, the Milvak, Suvva Torah, the fact that you had an Aposiki for the Kohen first, therefore that goes first, either as B'nai Chorin, because the mitzvah was originally on Yitzchak's Nechosim, because he's the one who made this field in Aposiki for Yaakov's Pidyon Aben. There's no Hinachnu L'chomakim, because the fact is, there was an Aposiki to begin with on this. So the Yehuda is, so that's the scenario that Tosfos constructs, where in that case, therefore, there was no unfairness to the Lekuchas, because to begin with, there was an Aposiki. Anyway, so that's Rabbi Yehuda. V'rabbonan savri milvak k'suvah b'torah lav k'suvah b'shtar damya, whereas the Chachamim hold that just because it says a milvah in the Torah is not considered, like it's written in a shtar, so therefore there's no shibud over here. So therefore you're not going to be able to collect from the chosim b'shabadim anyway, v'hilpach mitzvah d'gufa yadif, so therefore the mitzvah on him is stronger, since you're not going to be able, unlike in Rabbi Yehuda's scenario, where you're going to be able to eventually to do both. According to the Chachamim, you're not, because they hold there's no way to collect from the chosim b'shabadim. You try to collect from them, the other guy's going to say, where's your shtar? So therefore, given that you all have it's one or the other, then the mitzvah de gufei is the stronger one. Okay. The Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a braisa, liftos is b'noi v'lalos l'regel. What if a person has a pinyon aben to do, and he also needs to be ola l'regel, and he can't afford to do both of them? Poides b'noi v'achakach ola l'regel. First he should do the pinyon aben, then he should do aliyah l'regel. For reasons that we're going to explain in a second. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ola L'Regel, V'achakach Poides B'noi, Rabbi Yehuda says the other way around, Shezu Mitzvah Oiveres, V'zu Mitzvah She'ena Oiveres. Because the Aliyah L'Regel, there's a deadline. If he doesn't do Aliyah L'Regel in time, he's going to miss it altogether, whereas Pidyon Aben is open-ended. He doesn't do it now, he can always do it later. You're supposed to do it on the 30th day, 31st day, whatever, but you could do it later on. You know, you're not over every day. So therefore, so the Gemara says, "Bishleima l'Rabbi Yehuda k'dkamer taima." Rabbi Yehuda, it's easy enough to understand. He's explaining his reason. El rabbanon my taimayu. Why do the Chachamim hold then differently? And the answer is, "De'omakra kol b'chor banecha tifta v'hoder v'lo yiro fanei reikam." The pasuk says, "All the b'chorim of your children, of your sons, you should redeem." And then the pasuk continues, "My face should not be seen empty-handed." So we learn from that pidyon aben comes before aliyah l'regel. Which, by the way, Tosfos Riyaz Zokin points out, that would only be so. Then the Chachamim would be saying that only as far as this particular case, because the Pasuk says so. Other than that, they agree that a mitzvah Iveres takes precedence over a mitzvah She'ena Iveres. The Magen Avraham gives an example of that in Hilchos Lulav. Suppose a person only has enough money for a Lulav and Esrog, or for Pidyon Aben. It's one or the other. Which should he do? And we're talking about, let's say, he's in a place where he can't borrow somebody else's Lulav and Esrog or whatever. So then getting a Lulav and Esrog comes first, because that's a mitzvah Iveres, and the Pidyon Aben he'll have to delay until some other time when he has more money. Okay.
It's not like a bris, right.
How do we know if a man has five firstborns from five different wives, that he has to redeem all of them? Therefore, the pasuk says, all the bechorim of your son you should redeem. So all of them. So the Gemara says, pshita, isn't that obvious? The pasuk clearly makes it depend on which one came out of the womb first. Each of them came out of his mother's womb first, so of course he's a bechor. The answer is ma'u detema. You might have thought, maybe not. Nelef bechor bechor minachla. Maybe we should make a gzeirah shava on the word bechor from inheritance, where they are malahalan reishis oino, and there the pasuk uses the expression that the son, the firstborn, is reishis oino, the first of his father's strength, and therefore it depends on him being his father's firstborn son. Afkan reishis oino, maybe the same thing applies over here. So maybe for Pidyon Aben, the son has to be both his father's and his mother's first. Kamash Malan, therefore, we're saying that no, it strictly depends on the mother, and they, as long as he's a Peter Rechem, then it doesn't matter whether his son, whether his father previously had other children.
Nachla goes on the
mother. So Nachla goes on the father, and Pinyin Aben goes on the mother. In fact, you have the Mishnah in Bechoras tells us you have different cases over there. You have somebody can be a Bechor as far as Nachla and not as far as Pinyin Aben, or the other way around. But when it comes to Tainus Bechorim, also it mentions in Shulchan Aruch whether a Bechor, whether he's a Bechor leNachla or whether he's a Bechor leKoyin, then he needs to fast or hear or see him on Erev Pesach. Yeah. Okay. Next, we said in the Mishnah, we said in the Braise, rather, the Lamde Torah, another thing the father has to do for the son is teach him Torah. Minolon, where do we know? Because the Pasuk says you should teach Torah to your children. And the Hecha de la Agmere Avua, where the... Fine, but the fact is it says B'nechem, so that's the first thing. Wait, we'll see how the women are potter. The Hecha de la Agmere Avua, if the father did not teach him, Mechayev Iul, Migmar Nafshe, then he himself has to learn himself. The Rambam writes, and the Alter Rebbe explains in greater detail that it means basically when the son grows up and is over by mitzvah, and then he realizes he hasn't had a chance to learn, then he's Chayev to hire himself a Malamed and learn it. Dichtiv, because you have a different pasuk says, Ulamadtem, a different pasuk says, you should learn Torah. The Limadtem would be you should teach. Ulamadte means you should learn Torah. So the Gemara says, Ihi menolam b'le mechayva. Where do we see that the mother is not chayiv to do that? So dechtiv, v'limadtem ulamadtem, because the very word v'limadtem osim asbeneichem can also be read as if it said ulamadtem. Because again, you have the Torah is written without nekudas, and therefore you can douch in the different, spellings. The Rosh says rather that it's because we make a hekesh between the ulamadtem osam and shema and ulamadtem osam, which is elsewhere in the Torah. So whatever, the point is, we learn that there's a comparison between them. Kol shemitzuva lumen, mitzuva l'lamen. Anybody who has a chiyuv to learn Torah, which is the father, has a mitzvah to teach his son. V'chol she'enem mitzuva lumen, enem mitzuva l'lamen, a woman who doesn't have a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, she has a mitzvah to know, practically speaking, she has to know the things she needs to know. And eventually, that's why schools were open for girls for that purpose, because the mothers weren't doing a good job teaching the daughters anymore, and the Chofetz Chaim, and we know Sarah Schneer, and the Chofetz Chaim, and all that, but the fact is, women don't have a mitzvah of Talmud Torah l'shma. Their learning Torah is strictly hechsher mitzvah. It's a prerequisite. How can you do mitzvahs if you don't know what they are? Therefore, they need to learn. But not that they have an independent mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So therefore, she doesn't have the mitzvah of teaching her child either. And the ihi menolam de lemechayv l'melech nafsha. Where do we know that a woman herself doesn't have to learn Torah? So again, we make the same comparison the other way around. Anybody who somebody else, namely their parents, their father, has a mitzvah to teach them, then they have a mitzvah to teach themselves. If the father doesn't have a chiyuv to teach his daughter, then they don't have a chiyuv for themselves to learn either, and therefore they also don't have a chiyuv of teaching their children. So the same kind of limud as we did with Pinyin Aben. How do we know that the father in the first place doesn't have a mitzvah to teach his daughter Torah? Means you have a mitzvah to teach your sons, not your daughters. Okay. Now we learn in a braise some dinim about this din that a father has to teach his sons. Who lumed of no, just like we had with Pinyin Aben, who lumed of no lumed? What if the father himself needs to learn Torah and the son also needs to, and the father can't afford to support the both of them learning Torah? Who kodim levnoi? And then he comes ahead of his son, because again, mitzvah de gufa yadifa. And mitzvah to gufa adifa, the mitzvah on him comes first. And here he also points out, practically speaking, how is he going to teach his son if he himself doesn't know? So you're right. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, says, im b'no zoriz, if his son is quick to be able to learn, to be able to pick up, m'mulach literally means salted or, or mixed. It means like sharp. There's different explanations why exactly m'mulach means sharp. It means, among other things, that means like he's well mixed, like he's well blended of all the different midos and things that he needs to have. So if the father sees that, then b'talmudim eskayim b'yada, and he sees that the son is learning Torah and it stays with him. He doesn't forget him. Then b'noi koidmai, then the father, then the son comes first. Mefoshim discussed the question, is Rabbi Yehuda disagreeing with the Tanakhama, or is he adding a detail? But whatever it is, anyway, so there's a case where the son comes first. And the Gemara gives an example. Ki holded Rabbi Yaakov, braided Rabbi Acha bar Yaakov. We have the example of Rabbi Yaakov, the son of Rabbi Acha bar Yaakov, Shadri Avur, Lekamei D'Abaya. Rabbi Acha bar Yaakov sent his son, Rabbi Yaakov, to learn by Abaya. He also, when Rabbi Yaakov came back, the father of Acha saw that the son is not particularly, has not learned in a sharp way. Like he doesn't have, he's not able, for somebody who learned by Abaya, he should be much more on the ball. And he saw that he's not. Omalei, sort of Acha says, I'm evidently more capable of learning Torah than you. So therefore, Tuvat, you go back and then start supporting yourself, De Ezelana, and I'll go to Abaya's Beis Medrash to learn Torah.
So he was young.
No, I mean he was young, but Pashtus, if he's old enough to be in Abaya's Yeshiva, he's a young adult. Shama Abaya de Habakasi. Now Abaya heard that Acha bar Yaakov is coming, and Abaya figured he's going to take advantage of the situation. What happened was, Habahu Mazik be Rabbanan de Abaya. There was a mazik, which was shed in the yeshiva of Abaya, and it was so dangerous to have either the train when even two people would go in there, and usually a shed will be afraid of two or more people together. After there being mama, and even by daytime, where again shadim don't usually aren't usually active by day, have a mitziki, people were getting harmed. So Abaya now heard that of Acha bar Yaakov, who was known to be a Talmud Chacham and a Tzaddik, was coming. Then he figured to take advantage of the situation. He's going to have Rav Acha bar Yaakov destroy this mazik. So how is he going to accomplish that? Omalahu, so Abaya tells the people of Pumbedissa, nobody should offer Rav Acha bar Yaakov a place to stay. So therefore, he's going to have to stay overnight in the Beis Medrash. After the Misrachish Nisa, maybe a nest will happen and he'll defeat the shed. Now, how can he say maybe? Or is he putting Rav Acha bar Yaakov in danger just on maybe? So the Maharshal explains, he's thinking, I know a nest is going to happen. The question is going to be an open nest or is it going to be a hidden nest? So therefore, but one way or the other, Rav Acha bar Yaakov is not going to get harmed by this shed. Maharshal says, in a similar vein, he says, the vote is, I'm sure that the Rav Acha bar Yaakov is going to defeat the shed, but is he going to do it through his tefillos or in some other method? If it's through some other method, then yeah, it would be that the Menachem Loim is Chuyosim. If it has to be that a Ness is done for him, then Rav Acha bar Yaakov and Chuyos are going to be deducted because of it. But if it's through his tefillos, then that's not a problem. Anyway, so sure enough, Rav Acha bar Yaakov went and slept overnight in that Beis Medrash, Bahu Beir Abanan, in that yeshiva. The Idmi Leke Tanida to Shiva Reshivase. The shed appeared to Rav Acha bar Yaakov as a shed with seven heads. Every time Rav Acha bar Yaakov bowed, so he's davening Shemana Esrei now and asking Hashem to save him from this danger. Every time he bowed, Noter Chad Resha, one head of the shed fell off. And one interesting point is, so because he bowed seven times, you have four times in Shemana Esrei where you bow, and then at the end when you say Oseh Shalom, you bow left, right, and center. So altogether seven bowings, and that destroyed the seven heads. Maharsho gives a whole explanation over here that the Gemara tells us in Bava Kamma that if a person doesn't bow by Modim, then eventually his spine turns into a snake. So now corresponding to that, after seven years, his spine turns into a snake, representing seven different Kirchas HaTumah. So therefore, the vote would be over here that on the contrary, here he was able to destroy these seven Kirchas HaTumah with his davening, with his bow. The next day, Rav Acha tells them, Eloi Yisrachish Nisa, look at that. If a Ness hadn't happened in Sakintin, you would have put me in danger. So in other words, he's upset with them that they put him in that situation. So according to Maharshal, the vote is, he's saying again, they knew to begin with he's going to be safe. But Rav Acha is saying, am I really such a tzaddik that you thought that way? Or according to Maharshal, that the vote is he going to accomplish it through his davening? Yes, in the end, I accomplished it through my davening, but it didn't necessarily have to be that way. It could have been through a nest without my davening, and then Menachem Loim is Chuyosav, and you shouldn't have done. Because the fact is, when a nest is done for a person, then Hashem deducts it from his schosim. So therefore, so When is it not? So one thing, Maharsha is making the point that if the person accomplishes it through his tefillah,
she did.
And that's not, in the end he did, and that's not called a ness. But the Abaya was saying maybe even before he davens, a ness might happen. But then Menachem Levi Zichro Yosef, so now he's saying, he didn't want to attribute it to his tefillah. He's just attributing it to a ness. So therefore you caused me that now Menachem Levi Zichro Yosef. Okay, we'll continue tomorrow. Best of him. Shabbat shalom, everyone.